Today's study is going to be study number 138, believe it or not, in our series called Paul's Foundations. And the date stamp for today is May the 3rd, 2026. I'm trying to get my Bible open here. And our study purpose, all along through this series is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his fundamental teachings through the various dispensations he was involved in. To understand what the Apostle Paul is saying is going to, it's going to require rightly dividing the scripture. You can read things that Paul said in various dispensations, and that's where the onus falls on us to study to show ourselves approved and to rightly divide the word, lest we be trying to do the things in this dispensation that literally belong to another dispensation. And I know a lot of them cross over, and a lot of them are the same from dispensation to dispensation, but a lot of them are not. And so that's where the importance comes in. Last week, we kept moving on with our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We stopped, I believe, at verse 14. So for today's study, I want to move forward in our dive into 1 Corinthians here, chapter 12, by rereading verses 8 through 14 of chapter 12. And then we'll pick up today with verse 15. So let's roll back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, and we'll start at verse 8. And Paul here is talking about the diversities of operations and everything within the Holy Spirit. Within the group that we're looking at here in Corinth, there were grafted in Gentiles, there were some Jews, I believe. And here the question was, well, what about the gifts? And so Paul is going to really kind of lay into them about these gifts, the questions that they've asked about the gifts of the Spirit that were working within the group there in that day. So read me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." And you'll see as Paul talks about these various gifts, he's going to say one person gets this gift, another person gets that gift, and so on and so forth. He says it in verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And he's going to put these all in order today if we get that far along in the study. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers or various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And he says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. All these, Paul said, come from the one and self-same Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit. Dividing to every man severally as he will. The big point is there's one Spirit, lots of gifts, and every different person is going to get a different gift. Severally, it says, every man severally in verse 11 as he will, he being the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, for as the body is one, you see that? And we talked about that a little bit last week. The body is one and hath many members. So all the different members make up the one body. He says, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. It's kind of, that's a circular statement, but Paul does that, I believe, for emphasis, so that they'll understand what's going on. And then he says, so also is Christ. So though it be many, it's still one, even when you're referring to Christ. Not that there are many gods, but there are many aspects of Christ that all come into what we call Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 13, for by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? And we talked about this baptism here. And I believe this to be the spiritual baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we referenced Acts 18 where Paul comes into Ephesus and he asked those people, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? or the Holy Ghost. And they said, we don't even know if there be such thing as the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, then what were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized under John's baptism. And so Paul right then, when he got to Ephesus, he figured out that the elders and saints at Ephesus, they were behind. They did not have the latest that God was doing. And so if you read Acts 18, he baptized them in the name of Christ, and they received the Holy Spirit. So go back and read that in Acts 18. It's very interesting. And I believe that's what makes him say here in verse 13, he says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. And we, you could almost insert the we there in verse 13, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's, we all drink of the same cup of that one Spirit. And then we stopped at verse 14, which says, for the body is not one member, but many. Now, today's entire lesson, and I'm going to try to get all the way down through the end of chapter 12, if I can make it. Sure. But that statement there in verse 14 is kind of the summation of a lot of the verses that went before it. And the verses after, verses 15 through 20, in one aspect, are going to kind of buttress what's said in verse 14. Remember this. Paul tells the Corinthians, for the body, and this is the body of Christ. Whether you get that or not, whether you understand that or not, whether you like that or not, these people are the body of Christ. Because Paul says it, and we don't have the authority to take that away from them. He says, for the body is not one member, but many. And he is speaking specifically to the Corinthian assembly here. So let's begin at 15, verse 15 today with our lesson for today. And I'm going to move through this fairly quickly, because these verses are not that difficult to understand. Paul is basically going to be buttressing the big point he's already made right there in verse 14 where we stopped last week. So he says, if the foot shall say, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12, if the foot shall say, and this is kind of a strange analogy, but it's almost as if he's equating the body of Christ, the best analogy he's got for it is a human body. Well, our human bodies have different things that do different functions. My big mouth is running right now, but it doesn't do the same thing my hands do. And they don't do the same thing as my ears do. And these are the points that Paul's going to make. It takes a lot of members to make up a body. The body is made of lots of different members that do different things and have different functions. So listen to his logic here. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So if your foot, let's say your foot can talk, and your foot says, man, I'm not a hand, I must not be part of the body. Well, see, that's erroneous logic. The fact that the foot doesn't do what the hands do doesn't make it not part of the body. And that is the very basic message that the Apostle Paul is putting out here. If the foot shall say, or if a foot, that's the way it should read, the thee there should be a, if a foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. And of there in both cases, it's used twice. There in verse 15 is ek. It should be out from. So it should literally read, because I am not the hand, am I not out from the body? Or am I not out, apart out from the body? He said, is it therefore not out from the body? Just because if the foot shall say, I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? No. Well, of course, the logical ellipsis answer to this is no, the foot is just as much a part of the body as the hand is. Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. I'm not out from the body. Well, of course, the ear, you know, it's got its own specific job, just like the eyes do. You see what Paul is doing here. This is not difficult to understand. It's like personification of the different parts of your body being able to talk as if they could, as if they could communicate. So he said, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. He said, is it therefore not of the body? Again, the logical ellipsis answer there, of course, is no. Doesn't mean it's not of the body because it, the eye says I'm not an ear, or the ear says I'm not an eye, or any of those things. verse 17, I'm sorry. Paul says, listen to this logic. If the whole body were an eye, and I had this weird image pop in my head when I read that. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Paul is making a very good point that if every member of your body was like one thing, it like you'd be just one big eyeball. So his point is that just because, you know, one member is not the same as another member doesn't mean that it's not part of the body. There must have been a lot of squabbling and a lot of jockeying for position within this assembly. And that goes along with a lot of the, many of the other issues that we've already went through in the first 11 chapters that this group at Corinth had. The more and the further, the more you read, the further you go along in 1 Corinthians, the more you can see these people had some issues. They had some problems. And Paul was trying to deal with them in these two letters of correction back to them during the kingdom dispensation as best he could to get them back on the track that would be pleasing to God. So he makes the point in verse 17, if the whole body was an eye, where is the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? See, everybody can't be the same thing. And it's a lot the same within the body of Christ as we know it today under our dispensation. There are folks that do some things. There are folks that do other things, but they're all important to God. Whether you're putting on a conference or leading a conference or just coming to the conference and having conversations with people, all those things are important to God. And just because you're not doing the same thing as somebody else, or because you don't have the ability to do this or that, doesn't mean that God can't use you and is not using you. And that's the whole point Paul's trying to make here. You can't compare yourself to somebody else and try to be pleasing the same way that they are. You got to please God the way God wants you to please him, not the way somebody else does. God may have a different purpose for somebody else within the body that he has for you. We all have to find and understand what that purpose is for us within the body of Christ. Because we're all not going to, it's not all going to be teachers, not all going to be elders, we're not all going to be those that do this or that. We're just not. It's different for everybody. And that's no different today. Although the way the gifts work out today are different, I don't believe we can heal. Of course, some of the kingdom dispensation gifts, they ceased. When the kingdom dispensation ended at the end of the book of Acts, or shortly thereafter, when all that run out, I believe it run out. And we have gifts today. We have blessings today through the Holy Spirit. But not exactly the same. Well, some of them are the same. Some of them are not. Give you, for instance, I cannot walk up to somebody that's sick and heal them, touch them and heal them. Can't do it. And Paul couldn't either. Guess what? Talk about Trophimus. and others that Paul, when you see him mention them in books that are written in our dispensation, he prayed to God that he would have mercy on him. And he said, God, have mercy on me just like he did him, lest I would have sorrow heaped upon sorrow at his death. God healed him according to Paul's prayer, but Paul couldn't walk up to somebody and heal him like he used to could. Some of those gifts went away with the end of the kingdom dispensation. The ones that were, the gifts that were more suited to be able to quickly bring the folks of this dispensation to an understanding about the kingdom, those were no longer needed once the kingdom is put in abeyance. Think about it. It's like getting a bunch of tools to do a certain job. Well, when you get done with that job, when that job is either finished or put on hold, you don't need the tools anymore. So God did away with them. That doesn't mean we don't have gifts today for our dispensation. So don't nobody take off and say, well, Ronnie says we don't have any gifts at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying our gifts for today are different than the gifts of the previous dispensation. So it says in 17, if the whole body was an eye, how can you hear? If the whole body were hearing or an ear, how do you smell? Where were the smelling? So it, the ellipsis here makes, to me, it makes perfect sense. And then Paul says in verse 18, but now, and I believe that's, I like the but nows when Paul does the but nows, and there are lots of them that he does. It would be a great study to look up all of Paul's but nows and look and see what he says before the but now and what he says after the but now, because a lot of them are very important, especially in Ephesians. He says in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, look at this, as it hath pleased him. God sets members in the body with the gift that they're going to get as it pleases somebody else. No, as it pleased him. The word set there in, where it says, but now hath God set, that's the Greek form tithemi, and it means to ordain or appoint. So God has appointed or set or ordained the members of the body. Each one of them is how that should read. Each one, as it hath pleased him or as he pleased, is how it would be better translated there. So when you think, never think that you're responsible for putting somebody in a place within God's plan that they're supposed to be, because you're not. You may be an instrument to bring somebody to the point where God wants them to be, but never mistake that for you doing it, because that ain't how it works. God brings about the places and positions and jobs within his body as it pleases him, not as it pleases anybody else. Pretty easy to understand. Verse 19, Paul goes on with the logic. He says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Oh, so if you just have back to the eyeball analogy, if you've just got one big eyeball, where's the body? Where were the body? You can't have a body without all the different members. And that's what he reiterates in verse 20. Verse 20 is the complement to verse 14 above it. Verse 20 says, but, and there's another but now. But now, many members, you can leave out the are they, if you'll see that's italicized there. But now many members, Paul says, yet but one body. The one body is made up of many members. He beats this point literally to death in this chapter. And I don't see how anybody can work through 1 Corinthians 12 and not understand what's going on with God's plan for many members in one body. It's just one body that's got many different members. So he goes on. We're going to try to work on through here because these are just statements that Paul's saying to buttress what he's already said, and they're pretty easy to understand. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Your eyeball cannot pick up anything. Your hand cannot see anything. So you see what each member contributes to the body is special, and it's ordained of God. We were created in the image of God, and each part of our body does a special job that benefits the one body, our one body. And I'm talking about the physical, fleshly one body that we have, because that's the analogy. That's the picture that Paul keeps using is our earthly, fleshly body. So he says, I can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again, the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. See how easy that is to understand? I mean, Paul's writings are beautiful. They are apt to me. They're absolutely beautiful. He says no or nay there, but. Verse 22, the nay should be but. He said, but much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, they are necessary, he says. Huh. So some parts of your body do a very important job, and other parts of your body may not do such an important job. You see what I mean? Or there are different levels of what you know, like one finger. I could very easily lose one finger. I'll notice it. But it wouldn't be as bad as me losing my eyesight. You see what I'm saying? There are different importance levels, or different, not that it's not all important, but there are different contribution levels. But listen, it takes every member to make up what a body is. And that's the point Paul is making here. He says, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now think about that. Verse 23. He said, and those of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these, he said, we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. He's saying, the parts that we think we might could do without, we really can't do without. He said, I bestow even more importance and more honor upon those parts of the body that we think are not so comely, lack of a better word there. Let's read that again. And those members of the body, verse 23, which we think, it's how people think. People love to categorize other people, and they love to place their worth of other people based on their categorization of somebody. You know, you walk into an organization, you see two people standing there, and one may have a janitor's outfit on, the other may have a three-piece suit. Well, Paul's analogy here is that the janitor, let's say that a company is a body, that the janitor and the job he does is just as important to the body as the job that the CEO does. Maybe on a different scale, but still it's important. If you don't think it's important, get rid of the janitor. Think how life is going to be in a couple of weeks. You got trash cans that are full. You got floors that look filthy. I mean, it's a different job from a CEO, yeah. But is it still necessary? Yes, it is. Let the, in big cities, sometimes when the sanitation people that pick up the trash, when they go on strike, it makes the national news. Why? Because you think it's not much of a job, until it ain't being done. And when it ain't being done, it turns out to be a really big deal. And it makes the national news. Why? Because though it may seem like a lowly, uncomely job, still very necessary. And to a degree, it's just as necessary as what the CEO of the company is doing. So he says the ones that seem to be more feeble in verse 22 and verse 23, those that are less honorable, upon these, Paul said, we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24. Hope everybody's following me in this so far. It's pretty easy to understand. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. Paul says, for our comely parts have no need. Full stop, his dad says. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. See, God tempers that body together. And he makes the less comely parts, as Paul puts them, just as essential to the function of the body as the comely parts. I hope everybody can understand that, what Paul is saying here. For our comely parts, he says, have no need. But God hath tempered that body together. And the word tempered there in verse 24 is mingled together, or he's compounded. The Greek is sunkerenumai is the Greek form there for that. And it means to be mingled together or compounded. He's compounded the body together like a apothecary will take a little bit of this chemical and some of this chemical and some of this herb and put it all together to make a medicine for you. That's what God does with the body. God takes all the different parts of a body that's needed and tempers or compounds that body into what he wants it to be. I don't know how to put it any plainer than the Apostle Paul has here. Verse 25. And he's done all that. Paul says that there should be no schism in the body. Schisma there, the Greek word schisma, I looked that up, and it means a split, a divide. Let me find it. Schisma. A split or a gap, literally or figuratively, a division or a rent, a tear. And what Paul is literally saying there is God has compounded all this together that there should be no tears in the body. Well, it sounds like to me from some of the previous chapters that this group in Corinth, because of their lack of knowledge of what God needed or wanted for them to be and do, they were well on their way to tearing themselves apart, to having a schism. And that's what Paul was trying to head off them getting to the point where there's just going to be splits and divisions. And he's already said, you know, I hear that there be divisions among you in earlier chapters as we went through 1 Corinthians. And boy, the deeper I get into 1 Corinthians and see what's going on in this assembly, It is just so, it's so obvious how needful that these letters of correction were back to this assembly. So he says all this, verse 25, that there should be no break, no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Wow. I think we say that, don't we? That when one of us suffers, that's why I have such a long prayer list. Because without that long prayer list, I don't think we really by name call out the ones that we at least know need our prayers and need our thoughts. And how many more need it that we don't even know about within our assembly? There's so many, just within the ones that are listening to the sound of my voice, right now, I know there's tons of those that have not been mentioned that I know need a touch from God. Paul said that there should be no schism or a break in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. We should all bear the burdens of our fellow body members. That hasn't changed from the previous dispensation to the dispensation we're in. In this dispensation, Paul called it joint bands and knit together, I believe, in Timothy. Members of a joint body, I believe Paul calls it in the Greek. And that being a member of a joint body, it means that if Chico's hurting, Ronnie's hurting. If Kathleen is hurting, Lori's hurting. That we all should share in not only the joys of the other members of, but the pains as well. And that, to me, that's what our strength is being in the body of Christ. That's the strength of the body, is that we're never facing anything that life can throw at you alone. We always have others that we can lean on, in addition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just having that person call or email and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. If you need anything, let me know. And be serious about it. That's where the power is. That's where the love is. And Paul is going to launch right from what we're talking about here. He's going to get into the whole subject of love coming up in the next chapter. Because the love is where the power is. He's going to make that. He's going to say that if you've got all these things, if you've got faith and works and everything and you don't have love, it's just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. None of it's worth anything without love, because God is love. The whole thing that powers the body of Christ is love, the love that we should have for one another. So that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. Listen to this, verse 26. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is suffering, we should all suffer with them. Now, I realize that somebody else's pain in their body or some problem that they have, that usually the only thing we can do is either say, look, I love you. I'm praying for you. Let me know if you have a particular need with regard to this and let me help you. A lot of times that's all we can do. But Paul says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Remember what I just said. We should be with each other, supporting each other, loving each other, nurturing each other, joints and bands through everything good and bad. To me, that's why we're here. That's what it's all about. He said, now you are. Oh, verse 27. This is where I say, we have no right whatsoever to take away the bodyship of the Corinthians here. Because Paul says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Your entire group is the body of Christ, and you each one are members in particular. So it takes the many to make the one. You see how that works. We have no right in this dispensation to say that these people were not part of the body of Christ. We don't. Now, did they have the same hope within the body of Christ that has been offered to us today within the body of Christ? No, they do not. Does that preclude them from being in the body of Christ? I don't believe it does. I don't believe we have the authority to say that it does. Having a different hope within the body of Christ doesn't mean that these people are not part of the body of Christ. If you read Ephesians, remember the two being brought together as one in chapter 4. I'm just going to throw that out there. Take a look at it. Because in the day that Paul wrote this, looking, if you stand where we are in Corinthians and look forward to the book of Ephesians, when the hope changes, some of these people would have had the ability to trade up from the body that they were going to have. I believe Luke did, and I believe Timothy did. How could Luke stand with Paul all the way through the end of his life? Paul, remember, Paul says in 2 Timothy, only Luke is with me. Paul met Luke in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. How could Luke be with Paul through all this and then through Acts 28 and then go all the way to the end of Paul's life with the things that Paul knew and said? Do you think for 1 minute that Paul didn't say something to Luke about the body of Christ? It's preposterous.
No.
Sure, Luke knew about it. Did Luke possibly go from his kingdom hope within the body to the hope of the body of Christ that we have in the heavenly places? I believe he did. I also believe Timothy did. I believe it's quite possible that Onesiphorus did, that Philemon did, and many others that were in this hope that were just fortunate enough to live in the time where Paul would go from preaching one dispensation to preaching another dispensation. They had that rare opportunity, I believe, to trade up, so to say. Because the hope that we have within the body, you can't cap that. When you get to the hope that's been afforded us in the book of Ephesians, you can't get any higher in the scripture, folks. You've reached the top of the mountain in Ephesians and Colossians. To be able to be part of the body of Christ in the heavenly places, how do you top that? You can't. So what I want you to understand is, yeah, these people are part of the body of Christ here. We can't take that away from them. But within this body, some of them had the ability to trade up for what we got. And even for the ones that did not, and I bet there were plentiful, there were a lot that probably said, Paul, I see what you're saying, but I'm happy with the kingdom hope. I'm not changing. That's okay. That still exists within the blessings of God. They will still get that hope. The promises of God are yea and amen. They will not be changed unless God himself changes them. So what I'm saying is God has the ability to give these people what they deserve, at the same time give us what we deserve, and be the body of Christ within the two. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, you know, I don't think there should be a great difficulty reconciling the body here in 1 Corinthians with the body that we know today. Other than hopes. The only difference I see is the hope. If you look at what Paul says about the body of Christ and our dispensation, he uses a lot of the same analogy. And it's the same word, soma. Body of Christ, soma of Christ, same in both books. It's the same in Ephesians and Colossians as it is here in Corinthians. It's the only difference is the hope. You have, if you really want to know what's going on in a dispensation, look at what their hope is. What are they working toward? What is the goal that they're pushing toward? That'll help you more than anything. That's what helps me distinguish books that were written during the kingdom from books that were written after Acts 28. And I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. Hope that was I hope that was worthwhile, because Paul says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I can't take that away from him. I don't think anybody else can. I don't think you have the authority. Verse 28.
Oh.
And God hath set some, listen to this. God hath set some in the church or in the assembly, first apostles. Paul now is going to order these gifts and the importance of the gifts. First apostles. They, if you were an apostle, you had the biggest gift. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. If you want a list, here's the list. Now, some of these things may show up in places you didn't think they would show up. After that, after the thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. Wow, that's kind of far down the list. You know, we make such a big deal out of being able to heal, but Paul had it like fourth or fifth on the list. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. See, all these things kind of in descending order. Paul makes it very clear about what the gifts are and the importance of the gifts. But look what he says in verse 29. Are all apostles? And of course, the answer to every one of these is going to be no. Is everybody an apostle? No. Is everybody a prophet? No. And see, he takes them in kind of the same way. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Can everybody heal? No. Here again, making big reference to the differences in the gifts given to each member of the body. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Does everybody speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret tongues? No. See, the answer every time is no, 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 no through all those. But, Paul says, and here, and we'll cap it off here with verse 31. And I did get through it today. Paul said, but covet. Or covet earnestly. The word is zelu in the Greek. Covet earnestly the best, the greater gifts. And he gave you the list. So covet, Paul said, being an apostle. That if you wanted to be, have the greatest gift, covet being an apostle. Because he lays out the order for you. Doesn't mean you will be. Because who's going to make the choice? God is going to make the choice. But does it hurt to want to have the greatest gift? No. Does it hurt to try to be the best person we can be? No. Are we ever going to meet the mark of being the best person we can be? No. But we can do, in striving to get there, we're going to be what's acceptable to God according to his plan and purpose. We may or may not ever get to the goal. But Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. He says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent, according to excellence way is how that truly should read there. He said, but covet the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And I think the more excellent way is going to be coming up when we get into 1 Corinthians 13 next week, where we're talking about, let's just read the first verse. Because Paul, I think, is carrying right on from verse 31 in chapter 12 to verse 1 and 13. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. If I can do all this tongue speaking, if I can do all these miracles and I can speak with the tongues of angels and I don't have the love to go with it, what's it worth? Well, I'll leave you with that one to think about. I have certainly enjoyed this today. We'll get into 1 Corinthians 13 next week because I think we're going to enjoy it about as much. I've heard this one all my life, and you have too, usually at weddings, because this is one of the scriptures that's very, very frequently quoted in a wedding ceremony. But I call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. So we will, and we're not going to skip it because this is what Paul focuses the importance on, is the love that should go with each and every one of us as members, as he says in particular. So bow with me. Father, again, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all those that have come this way. Thank you for their blessing of being here to bless us. Father, thank you for this understanding that the Apostle Paul had, and Father, for the Holy Spirit that led him to put it forth in the written word in such a way, God, where it's such a blessing and an understanding to us, to where we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through what you gave this apostle in this dispensation. Father, help us to take this and understand how it compares to where we are today. And Father, through your Holy Spirit, give us the understanding that we should have accordingly so that we would know how it fits and how it compares to what we have within your body today. Thank you for all that you give us. Thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, most of all, because we know that within it is all the power, all the resurrection, and all the forgiveness, Father, that a human race could ever need. Be with us. Father, continue to be with us. Bless us with our all that we endeavor to do in your name. Bless our upcoming conference. Give the speakers that you would have us to hear even now, according to your will and purpose. Be with all those, Father, that we mentioned on our list, and bless them accordingly today, according to your will and purpose, first in Christ's name. We do humbly pray. Amen.